Welcome to the Mad Trio Podcast. This week we have the California Pariah, Jonathan, Charney, and James, the Fat Man, Stevens, and this quarantine episode. That's right, I'm knee-deep in the podcast bunker, and James is in whatever backwoods lean-to he lives in.
Yeah.
And, you know, he dragged a long extension cord from the crackhead next door, so we're all pretty good. And I've been trying to figure out what to talk to, because there's a bunch of shit that kind of pisses me off. And I'm trying to figure out what rant I should go on, because there's a couple of things that really bug me lately. So okay. I'll let you pick between door number one or number two.
Number three.
I don't have a three. I could probably come up with one. Those tags you're not supposed to rip off.
Two.
Okay. So my rant is a little bit in the family. If you're a believer. This is the thing that's been okay. This is the thing that's kind of been pissing me off lately is a lot of, and I've seen this more on the conservative side, more on the liberal side, and that's in the theology. If you guys don't understand that, look it up. It's too long and too annoying to talk about. But a lot of these Christian brothers and sisters of mine that are just railing against, you know, transgendered folks and gays. And I've been thinking about this a lot lately, and it's the fact that while God does say certain things are frowned upon, he doesn't necessarily call his believers, in my opinion, to be such flag wavers of it. Because if your whole goal is to grab people to Christ, for Jesus Christ to actually change who you are, you're not supposed to be a mook and just fucking just bang people over the head with it, you know. And half the shit they say, I'm not even sure is biblical, and I'm pretty sure most of it's heretical. I mean, what do you think? I mean, I can get more into a rant, but that's the gist of it that's boiled down.
Okay, but what are you really after here, though? I mean, just the...
They're
bashing them, or that they don't like them?
I'm after more of these people just fucking chilling, because it comes back to my, like, you never know a person until you have a fucking conversation with a motherfucker. So it kind of bugs me that a lot of these people are just like not even sitting down. Like, it's kind of hard to know a dude or know insert person here, he, she's a, without actually like at least kind of feeling out what they're about. I mean, you can disagree a lot of what people are about or what they do. I'm cool with that, but I'm just not really for just blanket bashing people. And I do it jokingly. I never bash people in a meaning way. And I guess I should be better at pointing that out. But especially if you read social media in a lot of ways, it's like, you know, it's a little unfair to be cruel in social media. Granted, that's the problem when you have, you know, and it's the
Everybody
Joe
Pesci. Everybody has a soapbox?
Yeah, it's the Joe Pesci telephone tough guy. Everybody's tough when you're not face to face.
Yeah, no, I get that.
You know, but...
Yeah, I think that... I think as far as it all goes, I think there's more of, I guess so you would say, not wanting to understand, that they're like, you're born the way you're born, deal with it, you know, and to change that or to go with your feelings is an affront to how God made them. But I don't know. That's a touchy subject, honestly. But
oh no, it's.
I think that's more of what they're up in arms against. But you know, there's always the fringe groups that are like, I guess you could call them, lump them into the conservatives, where they're like, oh no, that's absolutely, you know, abhorrent to them. You know?
Well, yeah, and I
so
guess...
I think that could be what it is.
And I do want to point out, if I'm using the conservative or liberal, I'm using the spectrum, not pointing out a particular political belief or this or that. It just happens to be the more extreme of one end of the theological spectrum. I think you're right. I think it's not wanting to understand it. And I don't know, maybe it's just because, you know, the older I get, the less and less time I have to... It's not less of those be blanket statements, but just to care. And I mean by caring is it's not that I, you know, that I hate people. It's just, I don't care. Do what you want, whether I like it or whether I agree with it. It's your bag. You know, if you want to have a discussion of what I believe, and that's kind of, and I think I'm more on the more liberal end of it as far as what I think God wants, but I'm just tired of the whole thing, man. I'm just tired of people just being a bag of dicks and not really sitting down and talking to their neighbor.
Yeah, I get that.
Especially online. And I think the conservatives, I think on that end of things are the worst part of it. You know, because they're more willing to bash. On the other hand, and this is a completely separate topic. This is my number one, as I think liberals are more willing to call offense on anything, even if it's just a bad out of time joke. Jerry Lawler, apparently on WWE Raw, made a joke.
Is that even still going?
Yeah. They're doing the worst idea ever for wrestling. They're doing a no audience and empty arena matches. Which
that sucks.
Yeah, so it's very boring.
But at least it's still going.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. I mean, those people get paid no matter what, but they're not getting any upside. All they're getting in their paid is their downside guarantee.
Yeah, I mean, they're not getting any of the sales at the convention centers or wherever the stadiums that they go to.
Well, that's actually part of
their big.
Well, that's actually part of the upside guarantee. So what it is, if anybody guys don't know this, nowadays, wrestlers, say if the wrestler says they'll get $90,000 a year for the contract, and after that, anything you do where they're talking about, you know, they're buying the, like, John Cena headbands, the T-shirts, et cetera, they all get a spiff off of that, and that adds up to their upside guarantee. That's the way WWE does it. Yeah. And so apparently Jerry Lawler made a joke about this person did the ramen noodle moonsault or something. And I'm assuming by the level of fervor against it, this person was Asian, because I haven't watched Raw because I just can't get my head around watching an empty arena. That just doesn't sound fun. And so everybody got bent over backwards about it. And it's just like, you know, I couldn't call that racist. Is it poor taste? Yes, I mean, for a publicly traded company that's on the New York Times Stock Exchange, that's really poorly said.
We still have a stock exchange?
For now, until somebody repossesses the chairs. So, I you know, it's not as bad as the Jim Cornette joke. Jim Cornette on on NWA Power. It's a YouTube NWA show. You don't know, NWA is like National Wrestling Alliance, blah blah blah. So he made a joke about a black dude carrying a bucket of chicken and riding a bicycle. It's something like that. Those were the three parts of it, and it was really, like, the way he meant it is he meant it a different way than the way the joke actually sounded. So it's one of those things that you can't preference that joke. If you're going to make
a
joke,
he didn't want his bicycle back.
Well, you know, you can't preference that joke anyway. There's no way you can tell that joke anyway and have anybody not get pissed off about it, because it's two stereotypical items. It's a black dude and a bucket of chicken. There's no way anybody's ever going to forgive you for that joke. I don't think Jerry Lawler's was that bad. Was it? I think it's incredibly bad. I think it was poorly done. I would have never made that joke.
Jerry Lawler does have some pretty bad jokes.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're not like Christy Alley Jean jokes, but whatever.
Yeah, poker announcers used to be cruel. I'm kind of tired of it. I mean, and it's not like they're poking, they're saying stuff against Trump, which is not only low hanging fruit. I think sometimes Trump deserves it.
I think Trump jokes now are just like making special need jokes. You know, I mean, they have their moments, but it's too easy.
So the question is, are you comparing our president to a special needs individual?
Yes.
Okay. I just want to make,
you
I just,
have a helmet.
I just want to point that out there. I couldn't leave that said, you know, without said that you thought the tangerine tornado needs a window licker, as it were.
Two-seater window licker.
I don't actually
wouldn't put him in the Crown crowd because, I mean, I don't want to offend any Marines, but, you know.
I don't actually disagree with the – I've watched some of these press conferences he's done. And besides,
oh God,
and they drone out forever. I mean, Bill Clinton's State of the Union addresses didn't last as long as these freaking presidential
press conferences.
Oh, dude! And I'm at work, and I'm thinking, man, when will this be over? I'm listening to it while I'm working, and it's just like, this is okay. This is too much, even for my dumbass.
I don't know if I would listen to him at work.
Well, let's just say I had a better reason to actually keep working.
So, I was going to bring up something last week when Ryan ended up being on the show. What was the last time you heard of anything from Jim Baker? You know, Tammy Faye and Jim Baker.
Didn't he say something recently that got everybody hot under the collar? Something about this will heal COVID or.
Yes, he is being sued by the state of, I think it's Mississippi or Missouri. Hold on, I have the thing pulled up.
Hopefully it's either Missouri or one of the K states.
Missouri. So Missouri is suing him because on his little show, he basically became a snake oil salesman.
He's always been a snake oil salesman.
Again.
Well, I wouldn't say again. His whole everything I've ever heard of him is like, God will love you if you give me $500. It's like, no, God will love you if you don't give you $500. I mean, come on, let's be honest here. God knows that you're full of shit.
Yeah. So it's called Silver Solutions is the name of the whatever it is. But these four-ounce bottles could be yours for just $80. Now, he said that where is the actual quote?
I can see it. Were you looking it up? I can totally see it. You know, he's saying,
this is the quote from the program. It wasn't actually stated by him, but he supported it, and that's where he got in trouble. Well, let's say it hasn't been tested on this strain of coronavirus. But it has been tested on other strains of the coronavirus and has been able to eliminate it within 12 hours. Totally eliminate it, kills it, deactivates it. How many strains of coronavirus are out there? 19, I guess? But
yeah. That's funny.
But it also is known to have good effects on SARS and HIV as well.
So basically he stood up in a show and, you know, did the Southern accent, you know, like for $89, I promise this will guarantee to cure Corona. It's just not your Corona.
Yeah.
Oh God. That dude's the space balls of Christianity. I mean, it's.
But, you know, I haven't heard it from him in a long time. Not only because I don't really care to, which I don't care to, but I mean, it's just one of those. It's like, did you not learn? You know, like I mean, wasn't it like $15 million that he was sued over for the.
I mean,
what was the program he was on?
They lost so much money. Tammy Faye had to.
Televangelist television show. I can't remember the name of it.
They lost so much money. Tammy Faye had to buy makeup from gas stations.
Yeah, I believe it.
And that's a pretty good joke if you know who the fuck she is.
Lost some melting down crayons.
Oh, prison style, according to the TV show on MSNBC. Yeah. Oh, dear God. I heard this and I was just shaking my head because he really is the space balls as Christianity. Because at this point, nobody's taking him seriously, especially, you know, when.
Well, you know his code to his luggage, right?
Yeah, this is true. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I just can't believe it. I mean, actually, I do believe it because I remember years ago I was watching, was it TBN, one of these Christian broadcast networks that always have, you know, like these really creepy televangelists this lady, and I swear to God, this is almost verbatim, and this is 15 years ago, and she's like, if you donate $20, this will hear you, and this $20 will be donated by the, you know, to the prophetic calendar, just There was a string of nonsense biblical words strung together like a necklace that just made no sense. And I was sitting there watching it. You know, I actually rewinded it 3 or 4 times, and it's just like, okay. After the 5th time, I'm like, this makes even less sense than it started to.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like you could say, okay, open up to the book of Habakkuk. This will tell you what I'm talking about. No, open up the televangelist guidebook, page 6, full of shit.
Yeah, no joke. I never really could stand those people. I mean, especially the Jim and Tammy Faye Baker. I mean, they were just...
I don't remember anything about them besides the fact that they got rode off on a rail, you know, pretty good.
Well, so what they ended up doing was, I think it was like $15 million got caught siphoning from their program, I can't remember the name of the stupid channel they were on. So it was like some televangelist channel out of Canada, I think it was. And they got caught siphoning like $15 million out of the funds that went directly to them and got sued over it. And I think they got jail time.
Yeah.
And
otherwise known as Tammy Faye's makeup money.
Yeah.
By the way, ladies, if for some reason there's a woman out there, if you don't know who she is, She didn't put on makeup lightly. She troweled it on. And I'm not talking about the little trowel. I'm talking about the 6-foot trowel that you use when you're drywalling a huge wall. She just spackled the thing on. I bet she had to use a sandblaster to get that makeup off. Did you guys ever see the scene? There's an episode of Simpsons where Bart accidentally spilt like a lacquer thinner or something on one of Marge's sisters, you know, her hair starts turning colors and melting. It was like that.
I was thinking it was like the makeup gun.
Oh, that'll work.
But anyways, yeah, I just was baffled by that. I mean, and who fell for it? That's what I'm thinking. And it's gotta be, I don't know. I mean, that's the thing that always baffles me is somebody falls for these things.
Well, I know.
You know, the snake oil salesmen back in the 1800s, like, I could understand that. You go to an unsuspecting town, claiming this and that, with them really having no real knowledge of anything going on, I understand it, but...
I know.
This one just baffles me.
I know, 100%. It's usually... And this is a guess, but I'm pretty sure I'm right. It's people that, you know, that don't have a whole lot of money, and they're scared, and they're believers, and they're like, okay, you know, this will work, you know, and they're praying, and this shows up on TV, and this.
But who trusts Jim Baker these days?
I don't know. I mean, that's the only thing I could think of is this. this guy's not exactly, you know, the Henry Ford of Christianity. He's no Billy Graham. He's the gremlin of preachers. So I don't really understand why anybody would, you know, if you could have Billy Graham, then you chose AMC. I don't get it. It makes no sense to me when you can have a Ford preacher and then you pick an AMC car.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I mean, honestly, it's like buying something if Hillary Clinton or George H.W. Bush is trying to hawk commemorative plates. It just makes no sense why you would buy anything from that dude.
Oh. PTL.
Was that the name of the organization?
Club. Yeah, it was the club. Yeah. Yeah, it was bugging me. I knew it was like P something, but I couldn't remember the rest. Yeah, it was starting to bug me that I couldn't remember what program he was on.
I don't get it. I truly, you know, it makes no sense to me. I mean,
yeah. The other thing I was going to bring up is the crap with freaking unemployment these days. Now, I actually meant to look this up. I'll actually look it up as I'm thinking about it. Now, with how many people are on unemployment, you think that their program would be a little bit more stable than it is.
Oh, I actually heard something about this.
Now, what were you going to say?
So I heard, I don't remember what state this is. Ever heard of the programming language COBOL? Something like that. It's from like the 50s or 60s, if I remember correctly. So the same issue that brought Y2K allegedly in some of these states is the actual same issue they're having issues now, because the hardware apparently that runs this is so effing old, you're either retired or dead who actually involved in programming this. And so I heard one of the reasons things are having funky issues, because there's actually a bottleneck on the state that the software that runs it.
Now there's what?
That there's an issue with the software that's it's so old it can't handle the number of requests. So it's actually crashing this archaic software that runs the state unemployment thingamabobber. It's the typical thing on the state. Why update it when something from 50 years will work? I mean,
well, that's the thing. So the last time I was actually on unemployment. I think it was back in 2007. Man, these numbers can't be right. I was trying to find an actual.
Well, the last time you were on unemployment, they also gave you paper checks, not this.
That's the thing.
Credit card.
So they give you these checks, and you can put them directly in your bank account. Now, I would estimate that at least 70% of the United States has some type of automatic withdrawal from their bank account at least once a month.
Yeah.
And that's a low estimate. It's probably higher than that. I'm not looking that, but I was trying to find unemployment rates, but I didn't find any from actual like this month or last month, which I expect they've drastically jumped. But so according to February, it says 2.5% of California is unemployed.
Mm-hmm.
That seems like a low number to me as of February.
Yeah, because I heard the number for the United States was a ridiculous amount. I just ran across this number within like the last couple of weeks. Here it is. So according to this article, this is April 9th, and this is just the headline, not the actual article, 6.6 million Americans filed for unemployment last week, and that's of April 9th.
Okay, well, this is actually another one right here that would give us a better idea. Coronavirus update, California unemployment soars as U.S. jobless claims hit 3.3 million in a week.
Damn.
And this is March 26, 2020. But that's overall, 3.3 million Americans are jobless right now and filing claims. So they're newly jobless. 3.3 million. So
according to this, this article I just clicked in, it says more than 17 million Americans have filed for unemployment. And that's total, I'm assuming, since this began.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. So with those numbers, you think the system would be better. So back when I had the checks, I could put them in my bank account. Now I get this card that took 3 weeks to arrive, and it has all my funds on there. So now if I want to put that in my bank account, I have to withdraw it from the card and put it into my bank account. It makes absolutely no sense.
Now, is that
so
something?
They know that I have bills to pay. Are they trying to conserve money by issuing cards instead of checks and conserving money through paper, I guess? I don't know. It doesn't make sense.
Overall, it's probably cheaper, I'm assuming, to... The only thing I don't get is, like, they expire after a while, but... So the only thing I think it's probably cheaper overall.
I'm not going to be on unemployment for 3 years. How long this card lasts.
Well, I don't understand why it expires. I mean, why don't you just... They say, hey, this doesn't expire... Keep it in wherever, and then...
Because it's going through B of A.
Oh, that's why.
Yeah, they're going through B of A, so if B of A can milk more money out of America, why not?
Oh, by the way, this is... What I'm about to say does not represent Old Guy Tech, Mad Trio, James Stevens, or anybody else who's ever been on this podcast, but Bank of America, you can truly, utterly fuck off. I hate you. You guys are the reasons I lost my first house. And if there's anything that I've said that you don't completely or even minutely understand, let me repeat my last phrase. Fuck off and die. I truly hate you guys. You as a company and a corporation are nothing but vipers. You're leeches. I hope you diss a fucking peer from the planet Earth. I've known more people that you have literally been homeless because you guys nickeling and diming them to death when you don't have to. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a bank account, leave Bank of America, find a local credit union. I promise you'll be happy. And do me a favor when you do, flip Bank of America off for me and tell them the Mad Trio sent you. Thank you.
So what I was going to mention is, so during this time of unemployment and isolation, because I did have a cold, so I did isolate myself for a time. You know, there are I've found that there's really not very much good TV anymore.
Nope.
And there's way too many discovery documentaries on Netflix coming out. There's not so much, you know, you don't.
They're not documentaries, though. They're like the
docu-series is what they're called.
Well, they're not even docu-series. They're dramas with live people.
Yeah.
They're like the axe, what is it, the people who are chopping down trees. And the only one of those that's even remotely, like, even quasi-real, in my opinion, is Deadliest Catch. And even after a while, you're like, okay,
I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about the ones that they did of the Tiger King.
Oh, that's even worse.
All these other, now I had heard of the guy. I knew he had a television show.
Joe Exotic.
Yeah, but I mean, that guy is screwed up in the head.
My car has more tires on it than that dude has teeth.
Did you actually watch parts of it or any of it?
No, I don't drink enough to want to watch it.
So now the thing is that the guy was armed. So he's on his property and he's got his guns, which is legal. You know, you can wander around your property with your firearms, and in his local state they could be loaded. Not so much in California, but you know, you walk around your property with a loaded firearm, but you know, I mean,
well, you can't soon say, so if it's your own property, even in California, it doesn't matter what you do generally.
But the dude, well, he would go out.
Oh, okay.
With his firearm still on him. And I'm not so sure that he had a concealed carry permit. He didn't seem like the type of guy who would take that into consideration. Anyways, but the thing is there were, and even on the docuseries that Netflix put up and had cameras on, he was known for pointing loaded firearms at people.
And they have documentation of this?
Yeah. And I'm like, how is this guy even allowed to have a gun still? And there was at one point that he was joking around and shot next to his mother-in-law as he was telling her to run. He points a loaded gun at his mother-in-law, a shotgun, mind you.
So like,
and fires right next to her.
Like,
and she just scampers off giggling, and I'm like, I would shoot the guy.
Like the scene from The Jackal with Bruce Willis, that type of thing.
Yeah, that type of thing. And wow. I'm just like, are you freaking kidding me? And then, so one of his little, his husband, I don't know if he would be considered wife, but this guy really wasn't gay, ended up shooting himself in the head, messing around, saying that this Ruger didn't have a magazine in it, and you can't pull a trigger on a Ruger without a magazine in it, and ended up shooting himself in the head.
Did the guy die?
He died. And he was also known for going around shooting at people. Not trying to kill them, but going around pointing a loaded gun at people and shooting next to them and things like that. And I'm like, is nobody here, like, none of these people should have firearms. None of these people should even have a BB gun.
No kidding.
I wouldn't even give my goddamn cap gun. I'm like, I just was baffled by this. So this is all over this whole docuseries. But anyways, it was one of those that was like, it was nothing to watch. But, you know, I got to say, the thing that saved me through this whole thing is that freaking library app reading books, because it's goddamn more interesting than all this shit. I'm like, oh, there's too much garbage on TV, and I don't even have network TV. I've got Amazon, I got Prime, I got Netflix, and I got Disney Plus. And I'm so over watching television right now, which is something I never thought I would really be that much.
Dude, I've been burned out for TV for years because my preferred style of storytelling hasn't been in vogue forever. So it's just because usually when I want to watch TV, I'm usually tired. I just want to watch something fun that's a little dramatic, not like the Shield level of drama, which, by the way, I liked the Shield TV show, but I didn't need every freaking TV show to be a copy of the Shield on the level of drama it has. There hasn't been anything good for a while. By the way, shout out to the people at Project Gutenberg. If you guys don't know what it is, it's basically they have a bunch of old school books, Count of Monte Cristo, etc., that you can get for free on EPUB and other formats. Liverbox, it's LIB something. Basically, it's free audiobooks and people read it. So check it out. I've been using them off and on for years when I can find something I like. Usually they're reading out of copyright or older books. So in mileage may vary in the quality. And the one app I've got Disney Plus through Verizon for the year, and I'm just not impressed with it. There's nothing like I want to watch. There's nothing that I really want to watch, have my son watch, and the stuff I'd love to have him to be interested in, he's too young for. Like they have the Journey of Natty Gann, which is cool. They have some of the other stuff, but none of the stuff he would be interested in. And to be completely honest, I'm not sure if he would be able to handle the pacing of some of these movies.
Because probably not.
Nowadays, kids, and even I have a hard time, depending on the movie, just to sit down and watch an old school movie because the pace is so slow.
Yeah. I think that's kind of the thing that we've been spoiled with is just like really quick storytelling and action. I mean, that's really what came out of the 90s a lot is, you know, a lot of action television or action movies and, you know, like shorter storytelling, you know?
Have you seen, I don't know if you've seen it for a while, but if you can find it, check it out. Have you seen Who Shot Liberty Vance or The Killing of Liberty Vance? It's an old, it's like a 50s, 60s black and white movie with,
No, can't say I have.
Hold on, let me, it's a good movie. Hold on, let me, Who Shot, sorry, this is great radio. Here it is. It's actually a really good movie, and I thought it was going to be super slow. It's a slow movie, but it's a really good movie. It's directed by John Ford, starring John Wayne, James Stewart, a black and white film made, 1962. I totally dig it. If anybody out there want to watch a slower movie, it's a little bit on the faster pace for a black and white movie, but being from the 60s, I'm not surprised. If you guys want a movie that might be testing your patience, an amazing fucking movie.
Well, John Wayne did a lot of great movies.
Yeah, but see, the thing that surprises me about this movie, he's not really the star of this movie, though. He's a secondary character, really. And the only reason, in my opinion, he seems to be a main character in it, because it's John Wayne. If this happened to be anybody else...
Why, you got top billing cast, you mean?
Yeah, because this is actually how it's billed. It's James Stewart, then John Wayne, and then right below it, it's by John Ford. So he is not the main character.
It's gotta be it because he's such a star build cast that everybody sees John Wayne. They're like,
Oh, by the way,
paint your wagon.
I haven't actually seen the whole thing.
I've only seen parts of it, but it was, James has been, on a Simpsons kick. So there was an episode where it's like, oh, they're going to watch Paint Your Wagon. And it's like, and they got so mad that it was singing and dancing.
I would rather watch Paint Your Wagon than the Cats movie, at least sober. By the way, if you all like James Stewart, he did an old-time radio show called The Six Shooter. Check it out. Mileage may vary if you dig it, but it's pretty good. I've been trying to figure out, like, what... I've been trying to watch older black and white movies just because I'm kind of... Newer movies haven't really excited me all that much. I'm calling it Marvel and superhero burnout because everything seems to be trying to catch up with that. So,
but I saw the Sonic movie with James. That was a good kids movie.
Was it good? I mean, I don't know if I'm gonna watch it.
A kids movie.
I might.
Mean, if Isaiah was older, yeah, I'd say watch it.
So the question, so the my gauge to see if it's good is the fact that if you watched it, would you have liked it, or is it the fact you're with your son that you would have dug it? That you liked
it. My son, that I would have dug it, but I mean, it's one of those. It's a kids' movie, so what are your expectations on it? I mean,
well, see, this is where it comes to me that I'm just a huge animation mark, and so I love kids' movies. If depending on certain things, I'll pretty generally like the movie, so I'll have to check it out. The one movie that I'm interested in, this is a Gizmodo article. It's Denis Villeneuve. It's Villeneuve. It's his version of Dune. And this is one I've heard rumors for a while, and they're giving.
Oh yeah, you told me about that one.
And they're giving out first. This is one I texted you guys in our group text. Which looks cool. I mean, because honestly, I miss the days. Like, there's no movies like I really loved. Back in the day when there's a movie coming out in December or in the summer that you're just like, man, I'm excited. And that's the thing you're waiting for to see all season. There hasn't been anything like that for me. I was originally excited for Star Wars. Then I saw the seventh one and wasn't interested in the other ones. Lord of the Rings was that way for me. Even the Technicolor Rainbow, The Hobbit was that way for me.
The thing with the Star Wars ones is, I mean, now you not watching the Member Berries episode of South Park really ruins this, but that was the thing about it is that it was like you were saying with the Marvel movies, they're all trying to chase that one little snippet of the other one that got so many people excited. And that's the thing with all the Star Wars that came out after they released the prequels and they started with the sequels again. That they were trying to do is they just try to keep bringing back the nostalgia of the original three, and they just kept chasing that, and it's like it was just
sequel
terrible.
Syndrome.
That's why they just kept with the whole Member Berries episode. Their Member Berries are going, remember when Chewbacca did that thing? I remember. And that was the thing. It's like, remember when Han did that thing? I remember. And that's what it was, is like all the movies, if you looked at them, they're like trying to do that again, recreate that. And it's like, you can't recreate that. You got to do something else that, you know, overshadows it. And it's like, they didn't want to put the effort into doing that.
No, it's 100% sequel syndrome. They were, like you said, they were trying to chase people watching it versus actually making a movie that made people want to see it.
Yeah. And that's where I think they all failed, but,
they failed.
If you
so
kind of cast all that off, if you just kind of like, well, I don't care about any of that. They're not bad, but they're not great.
My biggest problem, honestly, and I kind of get why they did it, was just they basically retold 4, 5, and 6. And it was just like, instead of having a what I would call a true sequel, like, say, the original Expanded Universe did, they, in the book form, they just retold Star Wars, but did it half-assed. And it just...
Yeah.
It just didn't excite me. Like, I was super excited. It's like, I'm not a giant Star Wars mark, but I love Star Wars. And
I had more fun reading the comics that came out after they started doing the sequels.
Yeah. But man, it just,
and the comics are pretty good. I like the one that they kind of followed in with Vader in between, where Vader was the Jedi hunter and was searching down all the Jedis. I totally dug that one. Which was, I think, if anybody's looking for them, they're just called Darth Vader. But now those are pretty good, because it went into his sister order that he got as Jedi hunters and all this stuff. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, the movies were such a pisser, though.
Yeah, the movies were kind of were basically all let down. I didn't really like the one that went after Luke in between. I didn't really like that one because it didn't go into him like forming the school and the Jedi training school that he tried to form and all that stuff. I was kind of disappointed by that because it was all them just trying to run around and create the Rebel Alliance, recreate the Rebel Alliance.
I would say the same things with Star Trek, though, because the only prequels I've ever wanted is with the was it the Eugenics Wars or whatever it's called? In Star Trek?
Yeah.
It's where Khan was made. You know, and I would say also, have you watched or seen any scenes from the new Star Trek with Picard?
No.
So I haven't had time to watch the whole thing. I've seen a bunch of clips and a couple episodes. Do you know what? I kind of realized what I liked about Star Trek. It's also the same thing that drove me nuts about it when I was a youth was Star Trek was a very utopian show. If you actually look into the universe, it wasn't that good of a universe, but the Federation was a real positive, real, hey, we're doing better. And it kind of takes the piss on the Federation with Picard. And I you might like it, but I was kind of disappointed by it to some degree.
I don't know. It sounds interesting, but like you said, like ever since they've hinted at the eugenics wars, that's all I've ever been interested in. It's like you got this whole thing that is like a really big thing in the Star Trek universe, and you guys always gloss over it. You know?
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's like I think it would be a pretty cool thing to kind of see how that went into.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And that's kind of what, because the new Star Trek Picard, I know a lot of people that like it, that's very gritty, very in your face, very modern storytelling. You know, it's, I don't know, I didn't like it. But on the other hand, I'm only a giant fan of Next Generation, and Next Generation was very, very, very utopian. You know, the Federation is always good. We always do the best. We're the highest humanity's ever been, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it kind of takes the piss on that, in my opinion, on the Picard. I mean, my parents really like it. The old guy loves it. I could give it or have it. It reminds me more of Deep Space Nine, personally, which I wasn't a big fan of.
I think out of all of them, I think, yeah, Deep Space Nine was the biggest letdown. I wasn't a big fan of Voyager either.
I liked parts of Voyager. There's episodes I liked, but far as entirely Next Generation's the only one out of the modern versions of Star Trek that I love 99% of all the episodes.
I'd have to say I really enjoy. I mean, that's the big thing. It's like there's always that big debate of who's the better captain, Picard or Kirk, and it's always you either side with TNG or you side with Star Trek.
Yeah.
And there's really nobody that's always like, oh, Sisko was the better captain or Janeway was the better captain. It's always between Picard and Kirk.
I liked Janeway because I have to admit, I kind of liked seeing a strong female character, but just in general, didn't like it. Oh, this is kind of a subject change. Animaniacs Revival to reunite the original voice cast targeting a fall 2020 premiere. Back in 2017, it was announced that Steven Spielberg's Amblin Entertainment was working on revival of the beloved 90s cartoon series Animaniacs, which subsequently received a two-season order from Hulu. We've heard very little in the way of news from the project in years since, but now comes word the original voice actors Rob Palsy, Jess Harnell, and Tress McNeil are set to return as Yakko, Wakko, and Dot, while Pinky and the Brain will also be back to continue their quest to take over the world. So looks like one of our favorite cartoons are coming back.
They're going to have to dig out some big time writers to even try to compete with the old school Animaniacs.
And the problem is half the stuff they do, people are going to get right away. Cause the target audience of that show, nobody got half the jokes.
That's the great thing about the Animaniacs is the fact that, I mean, that's the thing that Ryan and I've always talked about is Animaniacs was vaudeville. It wasn't slapstick. It was straight vaudeville, like 30 jokes in 20 seconds, you know? I mean,
oh yeah. Like finger.
That's the great thing about it.
My favorite one was fingerprints. Yeah. By the way, that's a super sight gag, but yeah, no, that's a good point. It really is. It's a cartoon version of vaudeville. That's a great way to put it. That's actually dead on.
That's exactly what it was. And the thing is that, I mean, if they don't bring good idea, bad idea back and Wheel of Morality, I'm going to be pissed because those were staples.
We'll see. I mean, I'm not giving my hopes. I'm not holding my breath just because the way they ruined Indiana Jones for crying out loud. So I'm not holding my breath if they cannot screw up the Animaniacs. I still don't understand how you can screw up Indiana, but never mind. That's check out Real Flix Reviews and you can see my hatred for Kingdom of the Crystal Skull and surviving a nuclear blast via 1950s fridge.
Hey man, those things were really well built and made out of lead, obviously.
Yeah, but if it was really 1950s, he wouldn't have been able to open it from the inside. Let's be honest. Kids actually died in those things.
That's very true. But he's resourceful. He used his whip.
And those things are also small. Harrison Ford's a pretty tall cat. That's what did he do? Fold himself into like a shape of a bread box? I mean, come on.
He removed the icebox portion.
Right. Like that's so easy to do without a screwdriver and a plasma cutter.
I don't know. I can't. You know, but that was, you know, maybe that was the beginning of the end of sequels. That one.
I think sequels are dying beforehand, but maybe you're right. So I'm thinking about sequels back in the day, the sequel was never never usually as big, unless you're talking about like some of the bigger movies, but I can't name one, but usually they were like direct to VHS or direct to DVD sequels versus, you know, like Die Hard 2 and Die Hard 3. Those were AAA blockbusters. And
yeah, but I wouldn't really cast in it. I'm trying to think, like, can you name a sequel that was better than the original?
Ooh. Terminator 2.
I'll give you that one. I was thinking of Rocky 2, but I mean, because Rocky 2, I think, was better than the second one, but even still, I've never been a Rocky fan, so I can't really say that. You know,
better than the original. the David Lynch's version of Dune.
Okay, that doesn't really count because that's not necessarily a sequel. That's a remake.
Hey, close enough. Damn, that's really hard. I know there has been ones, and I know we've talked about it.
But I mean, they're so far and in between. It's like, so even still, like with all these coming out, I really can't. Okay, so I can't say this either, is that, I mean, like, the Iron Mans, I really can't say those are necessarily all sequels. I think those are just a continuation of the story, which I guess you could say those are.
By today's terms, I think you would have to call that technically a sequel.
But, I mean, like, even those weren't as good as I wouldn't classify those as good as the original one.
Okay, here's a list. So, give or take this listicle. Sequels, second movies only, better than the originals. I don't agree with all these. Toy Story 2. Mm. Godfather 2. Godfather.
I will go with that one. But the problem with the Godfathers is it was just telling a story, so it's not necessarily a sequel. It's a continuation of the story because there was always going to be three.
Spider-Man 2. And I'm assuming
wait, hold on.
This is Toby's. It has to be Toby.
Okay. No, I wouldn't agree with that.
Was that the one with the guy with the
yep.
Dr. Octavius? Yeah. Oof. I didn't like the first one either. So, Bad either. Lieutenant, never seen that one. Evil Dead 2. Uh-huh. I like all the Evil Deads. They're all odd. Shrek 2. The Dark Knight, I disagree with. I really liked Batman Begins.
I really did too.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Heath Ledger's Joker. I just don't think, for me, that one has as much replayability as Batman Begins. Mainly because it's the first storytelling of Batman, The Beginnings, that I actually liked. Bride of Frankenstein, besides Mask of the Phantasm. Hellboy 2? I liked the first one. Road Warrior. I'll give you that. The Road Warrior was much better. Than the first one, than Mad Max. For a few dollars more, seriously, all those movies are good. Fuck off.
Wait, hold on. No. Those cannot be considered sequels. Those are all standalones. Yes, it was the Man with No Name series, but those are all standalone movies.
Thank you. I liked my way better, but of course I need to stop cussing. Paddington 2.
No, I agree with you, but that cannot be in that list. That needs to be removed. The list maker needs to be slapped.
So Paddington 2, no idea what that is. X-Men 2, I'll give. I like that one better. This is the original trilogy. Empire Strike Back, honestly, all three are good, so that needs to go away. Wrath of Khan, I like all those movies. Wrath of Khan is one of the better ones out of the original. Superman 2, I liked 1 and 2.
Superman?
This has to be Christopher Reeves.
Okay.
Because I don't
give them that.
Which one was 2? Was that with the three bad guys from the?
Yeah.
Okay, that one was pretty good. Batman Returns. Honestly, I like both of the Michael Keaton Batmans. Batman Returns. That was the one with Michelle Pfeiffer and Danny DeVito, right?
Oh God, yes.
That one was pretty good, but mainly because I like Tim Burton's art style more than their acting. Gremlins 2, honestly, both are entertaining, and I'm not quite sure if you could call one better than the other. I actually think that's stretching it, personally. Yeah. Blade 2, really? I'm not quite sure if any of them qualifies better than the other.
But he actually put Blade 2 in there?
Yeah, it says Blade 2. Okay.
Terrible.
Here's another one that I'm going to have a bone of contention with, and I guarantee James will. Legend of the Drunken Master.
Oh, are you? Wait, somebody put that in there?
Yep, that's a bingo.
Okay, this entire list is disqualified.
Well, actually, some of them I actually disagree with. I just think it's funny.
They put.
It's a remake.
Legend of the Drunken Master. In that list.
Yeah. I don't understand how they consider it a sequel, because it's not. It's a remake of a good movie. Desperado.
A remake of a good movie that made it terrible.
Yeah. Desperado. I have no opinion on that one. I like it, but
I do have to stand up and say, yes, I completely 100% agree with that, because the prequel to it was El Mariachi, which was terrible.
I don't think I've seen El Mariachi, so I don't have an opinion.
Errol Mariachi is the first one, and Desperado is the second one.
Okay.
Yes, I agree with that one.
Blade Runner 2049, I like the original. Haven't seen the new one. Haven't had any interest in it. Magnum Force, honestly, I like all the Dirty Harry movies. They're all entertaining, so I'm not quite sure if that I don't think that should be in there.
So I'm going to go on a little bit of a different thing real quick. So Netflix been throwing out at me. I guess it's because I've been reading more. It's trying to be like kind of pushy, like Facebook used to be with emails and notifications on my phone and stuff. But they put a movie on there for me, and they said this is like I think it was like a 90% match or 89% match for me. And I'm like, okay, I looked at it, and the movie's called The Platform. And the reason why this popped into my head is because we're talking about all these, you know, sequels that are better than the original. And it made me think of the Cube movies.
Uh-huh.
And that's what this made me think of. So there's this program, right, that these people are in, and it's for convicts and people that just need to get away. They can qualify for this program. And what this program is they're locked in this cell with one other person, and it's got levels.
I have the description if you want me to read it.
You can read the description.
Short or long? Because there's a very long description.
Just do the short one. I'm assuming on IMDb.
Yeah. A mysterious...
Yeah, just do the top one.
A vertical prison with one cell per level, two people per cell. Only one food platform and 2 minutes per day to feed from up to down in an endless nightmare trapped in a hole.
Yeah. So what happens is at the top level, level one, level zero is where the platform starts. They fill up the platform and it drops down. each level. So you have 2 minutes to eat the food as it goes down. Now, if you keep any of the food with you, the cell either gets really, really hot or really, really cold until you put the food back down on the platform. Now, at the bottom of the platform, there's generally no food left. And they come to find out that there's 250 levels of this.
Jeez.
That this platform descends. Dumb movie.
It looked dumb.
Dumb, boring movie. Now, you can bring one thing with you. Now, John might find this one funny. Guess what the main character that they follow around the most brings with them?
What's that?
A book. The Count of Monte Cristo. He decided that he wanted to read this book and wanted time to do it, so he volunteered for this program to help quit smoking and read The Count of Monte Cristo.
Was it in the original French?
I believe so. The whole movie was in Spanish. Hmm. Not Mexican Spanish.
Spanish.
So, yeah. But the movie was, you know, I'll give most movies a try. This one was, I finished it, but it was one of those, it's like,
I should,
man, they should stop trying to make these movies.
We should change your the thing we call you, instead of fat man, call you the movie masochist. This man sat through more bad movies than anybody needs to. I've literally heard you when we were roommates. I literally heard you go, "This is a dumb movie." And then 45 minutes later come out, it's like, "So did you quit?" "No, I finished it." "Wait, what?" You're cussing at the screen and you're going, "Yeah, I'll continue watching." It's like, "No, I'm there's no, that's torture." This is a man that watched all 7 Phantasms in like 2.5 days. It's just ridiculous.
But I finished them.
Oh, God.
But this is one of those movies I'm like, I'm watching it and I'm like, so this is basically just a ripoff of The Cube, but not as good.
So the question is, were you watching this movie to see if it got better or to see how worse it can get?
A mix of both. And it really wasn't a disappointment on how bad it could get.
So it pretty much hit its peak right at the beginning.
Yeah, I was just like, I mean, you can watch like 20 minutes of the movie and be like, okay, I've seen everything. That's it.
That's hilarious.
I mean, dear God, it was just one of those movies that's like, there's really no purpose to this entire film, and there was really no good acting. It was just mediocre throughout, and the storytelling was really, really slow paced. And it was one of those that's just, I mean, it's not as bad as that one that I just refused to rate. I don't remember the name of it, but I just can't hold up the candle to
Finance Voyager.
Just, yeah, and I mean, it's just one of those things of like Netflix, how far you have fallen. Because I mean, their old school system of being able to recommend movies was actually not that bad, and I just think they need to get back to that. You know, I really do. I really think they need to get back to the fact, and granted, I didn't bother rating the movie, but I think they need to get back to that rating system.
The ratings now suck. You give it a thumbs up or thumbs down. It's like, thanks. Yeah. I'm not Siskel and Ebert here. I need a little bit more room for my number, for what I give it.
I enjoyed their old star rating, and I wish I still had my old account where I had rated like 60,000-70,000 movies.
Well, they got rid of all of that.
It was so good. Yeah, but I don't know if they got rid of the complete algorithm that they were using.
Yeah, they replaced they got rid of all the people's comments, and because if you remember, they originally had people's comments going, "Yeah, this sucks," or "The main character was weak." They got rid of all of that.
See, when I lost my account, when I came back and got my Netflix account back, it wasn't there, so I didn't really dig into it to find out what was going on.
They got rid of it.
Man, I love that old rating system. That old rating system was spot on.
Yeah, I've never been a big fan of the binary system, just because for me, being a guy who's probably seen more movies than is necessary, I need more room for my shades of gray. That's one of the reasons why we did in Netflix reviews, we did the 5-star rating system. And I didn't want to do the 10 because 10 makes no sense.
Well, 10, I mean,
you have to get very 10, minutia for to do the 10, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think five is good enough for 90% of the people. I think a 3-star rating system is too small. There's, you might as well just do what Netflix is doing with the thumbs and down, up and thumbs down. And, you know, I mean, a 5-star, you can give it at least a 2 to 4, hold your 1s and 5s for, you know, for really exceptionally good or bad movies. And that's what I think it needs to be. I mean, a 10, I mean, you're like, what really classifies a 1? What really classifies a 9? Because, I mean,
yeah, to give it a 10.
To go all the way up to 10, I mean, you got to be exceptional.
I mean,
beautiful mind and race standard.
Yeah, but to be a 1, I mean, what's a 1 in a 10 scale? Freddy got fingered? And if it's below that, I couldn't imagine. This is like a high school play on VHS. I would say, though, since we're coming up to close out the show and I haven't coughed as much, I'm going to celebrate my lack of coughing. And I promise I don't have the beer virus. I'm going to give you a couple of my favorite movies. And these happen to be black and white movies because I literally enjoy the storytelling better. Because black and white movies are the ones I like. Are more storytelling and action-based. So watch Who Shot Liberty Vance. I really like that movie. And I finally saw the rest of it. Go watch, it's Henry Fonda movie called Young Mr. Lincoln, 1939, amazing movie. I really like it. 12 Angry Men. If you want to see a movie that literally has almost zero sets, all storytelling, all the person to person character driven, we did it for Real Flicks Reviews. And The Killing, 1955, one of Stanley Kubrick's first movies, has inspired, Quentin Tarantino. Absolutely amazing film. Those are the movies I'm recommending you all check out. Since obviously you guys have plenty of time, that's your homework. And I dare you to watch one of them. And if you have to choose, and if for modern sensibilities, check out The Killing. It's a little bit of a faster paced movie, but it's absolutely beautiful.
And if you want to see one of the most amazing Jackie Chan films ever made, Drunken Master, not Legend. Drunken Master.
Wait, I think they need to hear. I think they need you to say that just one more time, just to make sure they pick the right one.
Not the Legend of Drunken Master. Drunken Master. There is a big difference.
So if you see a movie that's made in 1994 that says Drunken Master, what you want to do is grab it, take it over to, I don't know, a bin or an open door and just throw it because it's bad. And what you do, go on Amazon, find Drunken Master, made sometime in the 70s. That's the one you want.
Yeah.
I figured if we did the Trump, I figured if we did the Trumpism, they'd finally realize how bad the Legend of the Drunken Master is. Oh, my God.
I can't believe that was in that list. I just cannot believe that was in that list.
Oh, yeah. Well, Blade 2. Blade 2. I mean, I liked the Blade movies, but I'm not quite sure if I could actually rate one better or worse than the others. I mean, that's stretching it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually, I think would have made me put the list down if they said The Crow 2.
Oh, God.
Or The Crow 6. Because really, the only good Crow was the first one, then they could have stopped there.
Well, I mean, they didn't have Brandon Lee for the rest.
Honestly, I mean, I'll be completely honest. It's not the Brandon Lee or the lack of Brandon Lee. What bugs me it started the movement of people dressing up as crows everywhere. I knew people in school who practically dressed up like that when it wasn't Halloween. I blame that movie for that, for everybody wanting to be the brooding, blah, 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 blah.
I blame The Craft. For a lot of things.
The Craft was the Craft was the female crow. The Craft was the female crow. Cause I know, I know more women in high school that sat in, you know, whatever directions trying to do whatever. And it wasn't a knitting circle. Honestly, those ladies, now that all those ladies knit, they probably would have been better off learning how to do it than
yeah, probably
doing whatever to Dormammu.
I Actually, that was, you know, that was a good movie, and I'm really glad that they didn't do a sequel of that.
Doctor Strange. Oh, they are.
I mean, considering how many sequels they did of Thor, Iron Man, Spider-Man, the Hulk, they didn't do a sequel of Doctor Strange, and I'm glad they haven't. I'm sure they will at some point. But I think if they just leave it alone with the Doctor Strange they did, I think they're good.
No, I think...
They did a good job on it.
They already have a title. It's tentative. I don't remember. Actually, the Doctor Strange cartoon movie I really dug. I really dug the Marvel cartoon. I prefer the Marvel cartoon over the actual live-action one. But to be honest, that's kind of my preference. I like the medium for storytelling better, honestly. So do you have any final words?
Drunken Master.
So, ladies and gentlemen, like James Stevens said, go out there, watch a movie, preferably a good movie. You can skip whatever movie he talked about earlier because it was so bad I didn't want to remember the name. So check out a black and white movie with your favorite adult beverage. Maybe bring your child so they can see what true cinematic masterpiece is instead of whatever crap you took them to last week. And ladies and gentlemen, for the California Pride, James Stevens and Ryan Sonat here, Preston, as always, thank you for listening.
Bye-bye.